A P-51D is down in Arizona. SpaceX may try again today to test fire the Falcon 9. And remembering John Baker, this is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, March 12, 2010. AOPA has announced that former President John Baker passed away yesterday at his home in Angier, North Carolina. Baker was a Nebraska native and the son of a pilot, served as a U.S. Air Force fighter pilot in the Korean War, then earned a law degree from Creighton University. He served on the staff of Senator Roman Huska of Nebraska and was then appointed assistant administrator in the FAA's Office of General Aviation Affairs. He went on to serve as president of AOPA from 1977 through 1990. His successor in the job, Phil Boyer, remembers Baker as, quote, the leader who transformed the organization from a large flying club to one of the world's most successful membership associations, unquote. Current AOPA President Craig Fuller recalls, quote, from the time I served in the White House right up to today, I have valued his counsel whenever we had the opportunity to connect, unquote. Read more details and recollections at aero-news.net. We're sorry to report a P-51D went down yesterday afternoon on landing at Stellar Air Park in Chandler, Arizona. The pilot's been killed and an airport hangar caught fire. As of our deadline, the name of the pilot was still being withheld, but the plane is registered to Hirani Oil, Arizona. Bob Gottlieb, who owns multiple hangars at the airpark, told the East Valley Tribune, "The accident happened on the east side of the runway. He blamed the crash on a chain of events that were out of the pilot's control. He says he saw the plane cartwheel into the building and explode." Gottlieb said he knows the pilot but was honoring requests to wait on an ID until next of kin had been notified. Watch for updates on our website as we learn more over the weekend. There will be huge attention on the test launch of SpaceX's Falcon 9 rocket coming up April 12th, especially given the increased role of the private sector in the Obama administration's new vision for U.S. space exploration. So it's probably understandable that lots of attention was paid to Tuesday's aborting of a test firing on the launch pad at Cape Canaveral. The shutdown came at T-minus 2 seconds due to a problem eventually traced to a control valve on the ground, not in the rocket. Another attempt at the 3-second test firing could come as early as today. United Airlines has formalized a commitment originally announced in December for 25 Airbus A350-900 XWB aircraft. The twin-engined wide-body is still under development by Airbus. Deliveries to United are expected between 2016 and 2019. Airbus says its order book for the aircraft now stands at 530 units. Up next on ANN, the FAA predicts growth in general aviation. Aero TV will debut live video streaming from AEA next month. And airlines already want a pass on DOT's new tarmac stranding rule. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for March 12th. I'm Paul Plack. The 53rd Annual Aircraft Electronics Association International Convention and Trade Show is less than a month away now. It's April 7th through the 10th at Gaylord Palms Resort in Orlando. This is an annual opportunity for training and marketing within the avionics industry, and it's closed to the general public. But ANN and Aero TV are prepared to bring you unprecedented access in text, audio, and video form. Of particular note, Aero TV will be debuting video streaming from the show. April 8th will bring you live coverage of the 2-hour new product introduction showcase. On Friday and Saturday, the 9th and 10th, we'll produce news updates right from the show floor and bring you interviews with newsmakers. It's an all-call for our staff. AEA President Paula Dirks and her staff are excited. And I'm trying to drop a quick 7 pounds and determine whether I even have a good side. You can read the detailed announcement dated today at aero-news.net. And watch and listen for more details coming soon. While general aviation membership organizations fret over declining pilot numbers, the FAA has issued a 20-year aerospace forecast that predicts the number of GA aircraft in the active fleet will grow modestly over that period. The report projects the current GA fleet to grow from 229,000 now to almost 279,000 by 2030. Piston singles and twins are expected to decline in numbers for a while, but resume growth in the out years of the period. The news isn't so hot for the 100-plus light-sport aircraft fighting for the available market. The category didn't even exist until 2005, but there were an estimated 6,811 LSAs in the active fleet at the end of 2008. The FAA expects 825 more LSAs to join the fleet each year through 2013, but then a decline in sales to just 335 per year after that. The total LSA fleet by 2030 is expected to number just 16,311 aircraft. Of interest is the forecast for the number of total GA hours flown. The FAA predicts an increase of 2.5% per year over the forecast period, but front-loaded into the early years when the economy is recovering. Rotorcraft hours are expected to grow by 3% per year on average. The new DOT rule that exposes airlines to big fines if they strand passengers over 3 hours on the tarmac doesn't take effect for another month and a half, but already two airlines are asking to be excused from its provisions at New York JFK. Delta and JetBlue, which have both preemptively cut about 10% of their flights out of JFK through November to accommodate reduced capacity brought on by the closure of the Bay runway for renovation, say there could still be increased delays and that enforcement of the three-hour rule may actually hurt consumers by causing more canceled flights. Kate Hannay of FlyersRights.org isn't having any part of that. Quote, "The construction at JFK has been in the works for some time, and improvement projects are a natural fact of life at major airports. We expect the DOT to enforce the three-hour rule at JFK and for all airlines to fully comply with it." Unquote. All that snow that got dumped on the middle and eastern parts of the U.S. over the winter is about to melt, raising concerns of more flooding in North Dakota's Red River Valley and other Midwestern states. The Civil Air Patrol says its members in the North Central region are standing ready. Forecasters predict that Fargo, North Dakota, and Moorhead, Minnesota, could be hit even harder than they were last spring, when the Red River reached a record 40.84 feet at Fargo. National Weather Service hydrologists place the odds of flooding at 98% this year. Last year, from March 20th to April 16th, CAP air crews made 95 flights totaling 230 hours, capturing and sending photos to the State Emergency Operations Center. On the ground, members of the North Dakota wing assisted citizens with sandbagging. Training sorties and flights to spot ice damming are already underway this year. Still ahead, Neil Armstrong gets some long overdue hardware. Pelton and FedEx will get Lindbergh Awards. And Boeing wants Scott Carson back. You're listening to Aero News.
Welcome to Cirrus Design, maker of the world's best-selling personal aircraft, the sleek SR-22. Cirrus planes feature the latest technologies and are equipped with an exclusive, life-saving parachute system. It is our mission to make personal aviation safe, affordable, and convenient. At Cirrus, we offer a test drive like no one else in the business.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, March 12th. I'm Paul Plagg. U.S. Navy seamen serving in the Persian Gulf aboard the USS Dwight D. Eisenhower got to witness a very special ceremony Wednesday, one some of them may be too young to fully appreciate. By way of correcting a long overdue oversight, Neil Armstrong, former Navy aviator and first man on the moon, was finally presented with a pair of naval astronaut wings to go with his standard issue aviation set. Armstrong has been known to shun the limelight, but proudly accepted this honor. Quote, "I have made certain achievements in my life and been recognized many times, but there is no achievement I value more highly than when I received the wings of gold. To be given a second pair of gold wings is just as special." Unquote. He directed his closing remarks to those serving on the ship. Quote, "You will be surprised how much of this will follow you through the rest of your life. You all have a long naval life ahead of you, and it's great, unquote. Armstrong's presence on the ship was part of what's been billed as the Legends of Aerospace Tour. Also there were Gene Cernan, the last man on the moon, retired Brigadier General Steve Ritchie, the last Air Force pilot ace, and Bob Gilliland, a test pilot and the first man ever to fly the SR-71 Blackbird. The Lindbergh Foundation has announced that Cessna CEO Jack Pelton will receive the 2010 Lindbergh Award. The foundation will recognize FedEx Corporation as recipient of its corporate award for balance. Both will be presented next month. The Lindbergh Award is presented annually to individuals whose work over many years has made significant contributions toward balancing technology and nature. The award committee noted that Cessna's business aircraft have employed technology to reduce emissions by over 60%, and that Pelton has established the Cessna Environmental Strategy Council, dealing with aircraft emissions, industrial emissions, waste and recycling, recycling consumables, energy conservation, and engaging employee participation through communication. FedEx is being honored for innovations including recycling, minimizing its packaging, using hybrid cars in its fleet, employing solar power at its West Coast hub, and seeking ways to conserve energy in its facilities company-wide. Boeing reports initial airworthiness tests on the 747-8 freighter have been completed. That will enable test engineers to be on board during future flights and allow the remaining two test aircraft to join in the program. Mo Yayavi, VP and General Manager of the 747 program, says, quote, "The airplane is performing as expected in the initial stages of flight test. That's a tribute to the men and women who helped design and build this airplane," unquote. A total of 13 flights have been conducted so far since the program started last month, reaching 30,000 feet and Mach 0.65. Before certification and first deliveries, testing will extend to more than 43,000 feet and Mach 0.97. Flight testing is expected to continue for several months and total 3,700 hours. First delivery is planned for the fourth quarter of this year. Boeing claims 108 orders for the 747-8, 76 of those for the freighter variant. And finally today, money's tight. Times are hard, and it's especially tough to be a retiree on a fixed income. Take former Boeing Commercial Airplane Division CEO Scott Carson. During the recent shakeup of Boeing management, Carson retired, and hopefully he's getting some quality time in with his new cub. But back at Boeing, they apparently figured out they still need Carson's, quote, "extensive and unique knowledge and experience with Boeing's commercial airplane business," unquote, and his, quote, "extensive relationships with Boeing's customers and suppliers," unquote. The Associated Press reports that in its SEC filing, Boeing says it's bringing Carson back as a consultant. But he's going to do a little bit better than a Walmart greeter. The filing says he'll be paid $1.5 million over 2 years. It'll work out to about $850 an hour. That ought to be enough to keep gas in the cub for a while. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, 2008 National Instructor of the Year and glass panel guru Max Trescott reacts to this week's report by the NTSB that glass avionics in small planes don't necessarily make them safer. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.